Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Guten Morgen again, my darlings. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus. Speller Luke Ball's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Pete Donaldson.
I've got a burp on the go.
Another World Cup day, and it's a juicy day today, ladies and gentlemen. But before juicy. We talk about that, Blatter is back. He's touched down. He's in Russia. He was at Portugal versus Morocco. He was smiling. He was loving the media attention, and it's not good to see.
No, it's good because, again, as I said before, and as we've all agreed, motion passed, you cannot keep a good man down. That young buck will revolutionise the game.
He just needs a chance.
Didn't he also say something like it was great because it felt like it was my World Cup?
He did. Yeah.
Loving it.
He sort
this
of went,
is not a bazaar. It's the World Cup.
Cristiano Ronaldo fuming. Absolutely fuming.
Yeah. I think that old Blatzy essentially got off the plane. It was like arms wide open. Yeah. Pete, I did this.
Pete, any thoughts on Blatz?
I'm just glad he's still with us. He's a man of advancing years.
He is. But his predecessor,
his predecessor,
João Havelange, he made 100.
Yeah. Blatt is comfortably with us. We know what FIFA presidents are like.
And he's not going to phone ahead.
No. And he's only, how long's his suspension? Something like 6 years left or something like that. He'll be back.
Do you know what I'd love?
North America, that's his World Cup.
Do you know what I think would be amazing? Because we've got this debate going on about Cristiano Ronaldo growing a goatee because of Lionel Messi posing with a goat and the greatest of all time. I'd love it if the camera just cut to Blatter
with a goatee,
pair of sunglasses on, pulled his shirt open, goat.
Yeah. He did have a pair of sunglasses on. Yeah. So you sort of, he's a step towards what you want.
Yeah.
So what his life is like.
Oh, man.
I bet he eats some lovely food.
What is it, Marcus, what's your favourite quote about Chuck Blazer, who was another member of the FIFA Executive Committee?
Yeah, the deceased Chuck Blazer, of course. It was something along the lines, I can't remember which journalist, but it was, he would move from feast to feast on a fleet of mobility scooters. Yeah.
Was that Andrew Jennings, perhaps?
It might have been him who said that.
I mean, it would be fitting. If it's not Jennings, forgive us.
Pete, that gives you an insight into what it's like. And he's not. By the way, Blazer, that, not even the main one.
Was he not on a mobility scooter when the FBI nicked him?
Yeah,
that's right.
People who eat such good food, I sort of think, I can't eat a battered sausage without taking a Zantac antacid.
You had two after the World Cup party, you told us that.
I did have two sausages, but I also had two Zantacs. So.
Didn't you wake up with one at one point recently as well?
What, a sausage?
I've gone battered sausage crazy, guys.
Oh, morning glory. But, sorry, guys, just purely before the Chuck Blazer being arrested on a mobility scooter, and before people think we're mocking the disabled, he's on a mobility scooter because he's eating so much food he can't walk.
I mean, well, he was so much on the gravy train that he had an apartment for his cats in the Trump Tower, didn't he?
That's right. But a couple of weeks before he was arrested on his mobility scooter, there was a photo put out of him, I think it was Halloween, and he was dressed as a Jedi warrior on the mobility scooter with a lightsaber and everything.
We're in good hands,
big Chuck.
This is the thing. Blatter turning up has just reminded us of all that stuff. Yeah. FIFA said they had taken note of his visit to Russia, but confirmed he hadn't done anything wrong. Presumably the word yet is yet to be added.
Has he inspired Cristiano there?
Yeah. I would say so.
Because Morocco were the better team, I would say.
Oh, they're out. Harvey Renard is out after two games. He's gutting.
You can
really
hear the heartbreak
gutting
in your voice.
Yeah, I think that, Michael Cox on Twitter said, Morocco could end up being one of the best teams at the World, you know, in recent years at the World Cup to finish with 0 points.
I think we'll be saying the same about Peru, like, about this time tomorrow, to be honest.
Well, but Peru still, what have they got, France today? We'll talk about them in a bit, and obviously Australia, so...
They might get a point.
They could. You would think Peru, the way they played against Denmark, they would get a point somewhere. Morocco, they shouldn't be going out after two games. No, but whether they go through the group or not, but you've got to go into that third game with something to play for. And I really am gutted for them.
You say that, Marcus, and I've sort of enjoyed watching them, but they didn't really craft a lot. They were great until the final third. They looked dangerous on the flanks, but they got the ball inside, and then players were just slashing at the ball. There was no focal point there. There was no one that was actually going to score them a goal.
That's right. I think they played very well, and I say they were the better team. They were the better team over large parts of the pitch. I think Jim's right, but
just think about
The Cristiano. I know, and it is a shame because I think they have the potential, and I thought they looked good. And I rate the manager. I think they had a bit of a tough group, but that's the way it goes in the World Cup. And we've seen Egypt go home as well for similar reasons. So, but a special mention for Cristiano Ronaldo and that goal. I mean, that goal he scored there, that was like a proper 1980s, like out-and-out striker, stick your head in where it hurts type goal. And I love that about him. I love the fact, and we could talk about him and Messi until the cows come home. We can talk about Messi being an artist and Ronaldo being more efficient and all the rest of it.
You don't have to mention Messi.
No, but no, I don't. Well, I've chosen to. but what I love about Ronaldo is almost... No goal is beneath him. Mm. He'd take any goal.
Yeah, but he learned that. It was at Manchester United. And I think it was René Meulensteen, ex-Fulham manager, who taught him that the problem for Ronaldo at the time when he was, I don't know, 18 or whatever it was, he said, you're trying to hit the top corner every single time. You're trying to score the perfect goal every single time. And Meulensteen actually, I think they stayed behind in training for a bit, and he said, you need to learn to score scrappy goals. You need to just stick it in the back of the net sometimes. Stop trying to be all fancy. Mm. Be a little bit functional. And the fancy stuff you've got in your locker anyway, that will come. Just learn to score and do all these things. And you're right, Luke. No goal is beneath him. He will gobble up absolutely anything. And do you think that the Morocco defence would regret giving him a little bit of space in the box for a corner?
Oh, big time. But the thing is, he had to go and seek it out. He had to go and get it.
He did.
It was. He had to throw himself at it.
I love the fact that he's back on top of the goal-scoring chance. It was like, how dare you pull over with me, Dennis?
But, you know, with there's a lot of chat around Portugal and around this, are they just a one-man team type bit. I thought Moutinho was decent.
They're not a one-man team because
everyone
else...
good players.
Because other people do the jobs.
True, but there are obvious weaknesses in that team. Now, I know they held very strong against Morocco, and Morocco asked a lot of questions of them, but what Jim touched on there is right, is that I think that it's easier to answer those defensive questions against a team like Morocco, who are almost like all show and no go, really.
Well, Portugal can be got at. Spain did score three goals against them, lest we forget.
From
Spain,
open play as well.
Yeah, and Spain are obviously a brilliant side, so, you know, take what you will there. It's only the second game.
True, Pete. Will you shed a tear for Harvey?
He already is.
Not as many as Marcus, but I think the team did themselves great credit, and I think they're everybody's fifth favourite team, because there are a lot of kind of underdogs in this in these groups.
I know, but I mean, look, as you say, Ronaldo becoming the only one man has scored more goals at international level than him, Ali Daei, of course, of Iran, 109 goals,
and also who also went on to play for Southampton, of course.
And perhaps Ronaldo. Who knows what he'll do in the twilight of his career?
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo is now 7-4 with Bet365 to be the tournament's top scorer. Now, he has played more games than a lot of other players in the tournament at the moment, at the time of recording. But £10 will return £27.50, including stake, should he top those charts come the middle of July.
Yeah.
I think the saddest thing for Morocco is that they have put in decent performances in both games, but they've not given anyone anything to cheer.
Yes.
There's not been a moment.
There's not been a goal, has there?
Yeah. No, which would be my worry for Peru, who we'll mention later. But that's absolutely right, Jim. You know, had they have lost, say, 2-1, at least you've got a goal to celebrate, a meaningful goal. But you know, I thought that they played well. They were quick. They won the ball back well. And that is a Renard side. Yeah. You know, he's got them well organised, but just that bit of quality up top.
Well, the Iran game killed them.
Yes.
When they saw that they were getting a big group with Portugal and Spain, they would have feared the worst, as I said before. But playing Iran first was a bit of an olive branch for them, bit of a chance. And although they were arguably the better team in that game as well, they got beat. And that's essentially that. I mean, the World Cup is very unforgiving.
Absolutely. But had they have drawn, it would be very unlikely, but you've still got something to play for.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, but who knows?
They might
end up in the Europa League.
Yeah, that Arsenal spot in the Europa League. What do you think of Pepe's, that vicious assault on Pepe?
Pepe's 36 now, and I didn't think we'd get any more for the highlight reel. So I'm just delighted there's a little, you know.
I think
agenda.
He's 35. Right. But the point still stands.
He's older. Is he wiser?
No.
Is he wiser?
No,
he's a shit, but he's a paper-thin shit.
Yeah.
Like, he will, if he gets touched, he's gone down.
In the interest of fairness here, chaps, he's old, and therefore he's more brittle. His pain threshold is lower. Yeah, because
he's had
old.
A fall there.
Yeah, yeah, he's taken a fall.
He's like one of those, you know those,
had a fall.
You know those infomercials where in America where someone's opening a cupboard and all the cans fall out and she's gone, oh no, thanks Obama. It's like that, basically.
It's basically, that's Pepe's professional career now.
Yeah. Definitely,
and he's alongside Font as well. Together, they're
unbeatable.
Russia are stealing all the old man headlines, but Portugal are slipping under the radar. There,
yeah,
they really are indeed. Yeah, but let's move on to Spain.
So before we move on to Spain, can we get confirmation that Pepe's going to be fit for the next game after that?
Who knows? I think it was more of an impact injury.
It was.
He should clear up after in a few days.
I've heard he's going for a run in the woods.
Yeah.
Hey, leave our Gareth alone.
Hey, Petey, leave Gareth alone.
Spain laboured to a win, didn't they? Mm. They got the win, though. Costa, very fortunate with that goal.
Yeah, but that's the thing with Costa.
He's just
a big, busy bastard.
Yeah,
he gets in there and he makes stuff happen.
And he celebrates
annoys
it.
Everyone.
He celebrates it the same way Luis Suarez celebrates it. If you took a clip of like Diego Costa and said, right, match the celebration to the goal, every Costa celebration, you'd feel like it was a 30-yarder.
Yeah.
Because he celebrates it like it's
but
the
I like
best
it.
Goal
it's,
ever.
It's like a school bully. That's going, gutted.
In your face.
He's not celebrating for him. He's taking the piss out of you.
Yes.
There is a bit of that, but then there's also a bit of he's just enjoying every moment. Because someone like Diego Costa, who knows when it could end, when he goes absolutely mental and decides that football's not for him or something like that.
Oh, I think he decided that some time ago.
But they keep him around because it's fun.
When he was
at
Chelsea.
Yeah. It wasn't a terribly exciting first half.
No, it was
this
a
game.
Very, very drab first half.
Kiroš set Iran up to defend in numbers. Fair to say, they didn't give Spain much space at all. And Spain, it was odd to see them not resorting, but they were playing a few long passes. Number one, just lumping it, of course, that's not Spain. But that's because the space wasn't there for them, you know. And Kiroš set them up well, and they had the win behind them, so they could do this. They didn't have to chase the win, of course.
And Kiroš still has his head because Roy Keane didn't rip it off.
Yeah, that was strange.
Roy Keane now got to the stage where he is thinking, what do people expect me to say now? I'm going to say it because I'm worried that he's now so self-aware. It's a bit of a Hasselhoff situation.
Do you think he's a bit more self-aware because of Bilic being next to him?
Maybe.
I think maybe ITV are trying to play them off against each other. I bet they've got like the most uncomfortable chair they could possibly find for the King, trying to make him irked from the off.
The thing that's really sad about that, Jim, is I think it was yesterday, there was a bit of a laugh in the studio. We've got Ian Wright in there. He's having a great time. Yep.
Who's basically dressed as a clown.
Yeah.
Pete made the point earlier that they probably... Sorry, it wasn't Pete. It was cameraman Sam made the point that they've probably deliberately dressed Ian Wright up in those shirts so it goes mad on social media. Mm.
And I think he chooses his own clothes. I think he chooses his own clothes. I think so, yeah.
I think he doesn't normally dress like that.
Having worked with him before, I think he...
Yeah, but it's the World Cup, though. I guess so. Maybe you're right.
But my point I was just going to make about Keane is that the reason I'm talking about this self-awareness thing and almost the point where he's become a parody of himself... It happened to Alan Hansen later in his career in a slightly different way, and it's definitely happened to David Hasselhoff. For some reason, that just springs to mind. Yeah. But then they get in on the joke. They know what people think of them.
But David Hasselhoff hasn't pundited on a World Cup for the ITV for a while.
Knockout stages.
Yeah. When Germany get through.
But anyway, just to this point about Keane, there was a bit in the studio, I can't remember what they were talking about, but they're having a good old laugh, and everyone started laughing. Like Pugac was laughing, Ian Wright was laughing, Bilic, and I think Patrice Evra, who is a character, to say the least. But Keane was sat there, and you could tell he really wanted to laugh, but he was like stopping himself laughing. Yeah. He was just sort of smirking. And there's no way that was like a natural thing for him to do. I think it was almost like, people expect me to be Roy Keane here. I need to be Roy Keane. I can't laugh and throw my head back and have a great time. And I thought that was a shame.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, it's very much like Ian Wright's shirt. You need that point of difference. If you're in a crowded marketplace, you need a USP, and that's Roy Keane's.
Yeah.
Being a miserable bastard.
It's going to be like five or six pundits on each panel, and then you're going to cut to 11 more at the side of the pitch, and then one in a blimp, and then one on the International Space Station. So they all get a line each.
And
like,
now
they're like so solid crew. It's ridiculous.
They sat there going, well, they're letting in girls now, so I mean, that's even more complicated. And they're really much better than us, and now I'm Welsh. Hello.
I'm Roy Keane.
You say I'm from Newport, fuck off.
Would you say the USP of the Iranian goalkeeper, Bayrenvan, I think it's pronounced, was time wasting and being injured at every given opportunity or feigning injury.
I think by your loaded question, the answer is yes, there, Marcus.
But Tunisia were doing that against England.
Thank you for elaborating on that, Peter.
Tunisia were doing that against England, and yes, you did hear us complaining about it. But
Kirosh has clearly said to them, any given opportunity, slow their game down,
of course.
Run down the clock.
It was shithousery, but. Against Ramos, Pique and Busquets, I'll forgive it because they've spent their life doing that at admittedly a higher level, but doing it nonetheless.
He's taking his shit house to a higher level there.
Very quickly.
He really has shit housed at the highest level possible.
Very quickly, Spain have shown they can be got at, I think. They won the game. They had obviously...
They needed to win the game.
They had a huge amount of possession, as you'd expect. But there were a few occasions where good players, talking Busquets, and not just good players, world-class players, certainly in their time.
Yeah.
Busquets, Iniesta.
Yeah.
They were getting caught in possession against a young, quick, determined team. And obviously there are better teams than Iran in this tournament.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder what's going to happen when a team like, if they get drawn against perhaps Russia in the second round, who have been similar in their energy, what that's going to be like. It's fascinating.
Bags of energy.
Loads of energy, yeah.
Loads and loads of energy.
Let's not fall into that trap where everybody just goes, talks about energy and stuff like that, and we all know what we're talking about.
What are we talking about?
No, nothing. Sorry.
Right then, let me move on. Iran nearly scored before Spain scored. The commentator went, it's in!
Yeah.
I think it was one of those moments.
There's been a few moments like that. I don't know what it is about the design of the goal nets.
Suarez.
But we've had about two or three goals that looked very much like
they're not goals.
Mm.
Like you can't
count them.
And Iran's offside goal, they celebrated that for the longest time.
As did I.
Yeah.
That was gutting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was because I certainly forgot how much Spain needed the win. Because I thought to myself, they've got a win under their belts because they're Spain. I thought, had they have drawn that game, obviously they didn't, but had they have drawn that game, they'd have been 2 points behind Iran and Portugal going into the last game, which is certainly what they wouldn't have wanted, but they did get the win. But there was a wonderful nutmeg on PK, wasn't there? That was very enjoyable. And Taremi nearly powered in the header from that cross. You know, Iran had moments.
Yeah.
And a funny throw-in routine towards the end of the game, which I'm sure
that was a bizarre one.
Mm.
That's surely destined to live on a highlight reel for years and years to come. It was... he didn't set it up properly to the point of when he finished the somersault, he was still about 4 yards away from the touchline.
Well, it wasn't that. It was just that there wasn't enough momentum. It wasn't quick enough. Steve Watson used to do that in Newcastle, and he could get it for miles. It does, because it increases your...
It does, yeah.
It increases exponentially, but he just muffed it.
Why
did
he sack it off then? Why don't you just try it again?
Because he did it wrong.
Because he did it wrong.
Yeah, but just try it again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's the only way you're going to save face.
If you're going to fuck it up, you're going to do it after that, aren't you?
Yeah, you probably just bottled it. it bothers me that Spain might not wear red in the group. They're called Furia Roja, Red Fury. Yeah. It's the best. It's one of the best nicknames in world football.
Samurai Blue.
Obviously, the indomitable lions. Many African ones. Yeah. But yeah, and Morocco wear red as well, don't they? So what's going
to
happen?
Well, one of them will have to wear it in a way. It could be Spain.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, have a look at the fixtures, Jim. See who's at home.
Before we move on, by the way, just
because if Spain are, at
I'll
home
look now, Jim. I'll turn around for another look.
Yeah, that's
Spain are listed as the home team.
There you go. So you're all right.
They might get red.
Good.
Before we move on, despite everything we said about Spain, they are still 9-2 second favourites to win the tournament. £10 with Bet365 returns £55, including stake. I've not been massively convinced by them. I haven't seen them in that second game.
Yeah, but the first game, though, they were...
First game, they were very good, yeah.
All right. Well, Iran need a win against Portugal to go through. And on the evidence of that game, you'd say that Portugal are going to have to be at the races.
Yeah.
God, imagine if Ronaldo...
Carlos Quiroz.
Imagine if Ronaldo scores another couple of goals, they lose 3-2 and go out, and he still remains golden boot winner. Could happen.
He'd take that.
That'd be peak Ronaldo.
Could that happen?
Could happen, couldn't it?
Well, if you're suggesting that Harry Kane won't score a hatful.
That's mental.
Yeah, exactly.
I did like the BBC thing, a tweet was going around where it was like, Harry Kane should go for the golden boot. That's literally his fucking job, right?
Yeah.
He should be scoring as many goals as he possibly can.
Also, yeah, exactly. That's essentially.
I was going to not bother, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll have thought of that, wouldn't he? that'll be on his mind.
Do you reckon? Yeah. I reckon Harry Kane. What is this golden boot you talk about?
I can't word it.
Did you enjoy Harry Kane's two goals against Tunisia, Pete, the other night?
What do you mean?
I'm just asking the question.
I didn't enjoy his first one because I punched the ceiling and I hurt my hand.
Yeah, because earlier on you were.
You did enjoy it. You didn't enjoy your celebration.
Well, actually, on both goals, the second one, I lost my glasses on the floor, so I was a bit worried that my backup glasses were going to be smashed. So, I enjoyed
Pete,
the goals.
Is it fair to say that you've got a lot of energy?
The Malay.
Is it fair to say that Pete found something to get annoyed about by saying there weren't enough screens in the venue? That was Pete's takeaway from one of the most mental nights ever.
All right, look, let's not talk about Pete's takeaways, okay?
Yeah, well, listen, it's not
let's
that time.
Batter sausages.
Let's have a break, and then in the second half, we're going to talk about Uruguay and Saudi Arabia.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Simunic, I'm certain, was yellow carded earlier on, and Graham Paul has forgotten about it.
Oh, memory lane.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Graham Poll. Love that. Welcome back to the World Cup Rambles, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Graham Poll, excellent stuff. Uruguay beat Saudi Arabia 1-0. Oh, couldn't take my eyes off it. Saudi Arabia out of the World Cup. Uruguay will join Russia in the last 16. Saudi Arabia's performance was, I mean, you could say much improved, although Uruguay should have won by more.
More possession.
Yeah, funny one that.
It just felt like Uruguay knew they would only need one, so just had a bit of a rest once they got it.
Which you can sort of understand. Yeah. If you're that confident with how the game is going and that confident that Saudi Arabia aren't really going to trouble you. Which I mean, I always think you've got to get the second, but...
It's an interesting one. I always look at this thinking, if teams are better than the teams in front of them, surely they should go for comfortable wins to boost morale, to find that rhythm. But maybe that's naive. Maybe it's of more value to save energy.
Well, I think you should get the second, and if the third's there or whatever. I mean, yes, I would tend to agree with you, but Suarez has looked a little bit leggy. One or two of them have, I suppose. I don't think they're all looking around going, right, lads, let's just take it easy now. But there's some little bit of psychology comes into it, and you can kind of just go through the motions on the pitch. Another goalkeeping error, this time from a different goalkeeper from the one in the first game, of course, against Russia. So, yeah, they've not had too much luck. But Suarez got his goal on his 100th appearance for Uruguay, but not inspiring stuff. But he was given a bit of treatment from the Saudis, though, wasn't it?
It's going to happen, though, isn't it?
It is going to happen, but it was good for him to score, because the frustration, if we remember from the first game, and that's a little bit worrying for other people, that Suarez has now scored, and we all know what a little battered sausage he is.
Absolutely.
He's a little dog. Yeah.
Cavani needs a goal too, but I think he'll take it in a stride a bit more. There's an interesting thing in the commentary, I didn't know this, but Suarez and Cavani's dads played together.
That was lovely.
In Uruguayan football, and they're like a week apart in terms of their ages, and they've been playing together since they're about 9 years old.
I love that.
It's great.
I did hear that. I thought that's absolutely delightful.
That's fantastic.
My dad's better than your dad. My son's better than your son.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
It flips over.
No, they're together.
That's the best piece of Uruguayan football trivia since the Diego Forlán piece. Do you remember that bit?
Which one was that?
Because Diego Forlán was all destined to become a professional tennis player.
Yeah.
But decided that he's got a disabled sister.
And he wanted to provide
for as much as he could. And he thought the best way of doing that was earning much better money being a football player.
Yeah.
So he just became a football player.
Brilliant.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Nice choice.
Yeah. Is it a bit like MC Hammer, nearly a baseball player?
Was he really? I didn't know that.
I think it was the Oakland A's or something.
Gavin Rossdale of Bush fame was on the books at Chelsea.
Well, and Matt Smith, who played Doctor Who, was a very talented youth player at Leicester City, I think.
Oh. And Gordon Ramsay never stops talking about football, or nearly making it as a footballer, didn't he?
Really? Never played for Rangers, but said he did.
Yeah. Well, Gordon Ramsay.
Going back to Saudi Arabia,
yes.
The stuff you guys have talked about how well they played, and obviously I mentioned they had more possession, it's similar to a couple of the other teams we've seen so far in this World Cup, namely Morocco and to an extent Iran as well. Whereas it feels a bit like they can be energetic and they can press and they can hassle. And to a certain extent, the technical level is much higher than maybe a minnow in a World Cup 16 years ago or whatever. I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. But of course, the hard part is actually putting the ball in the back of the net.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't got one of those, Iran haven't got that. Saudi Arabia, although they had a really high scoring guy in qualifying, it's a different level now. Mm-hmm. Morocco definitely don't have that.
No.
You would argue a team like Tunisia don't have it either. I know they scored a penalty, but...
But they don't.
Yeah, so that's really looking like it's going to be a theme throughout this tournament.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's why it was a shame, such a double shame for Mo Salah, because...
Double shame!
You know, because Egypt, you know, qualified well, but they did have that player.
Mm.
And of course, it was taken away from him a little bit. And it was a great shame, because...
Apparently Mo Salah has sent a message of support to Gareth Southgate.
As
in the shoulders union. Yeah.
Was it Sergio Ramos? Was he in the woods at the time? Can we get confirmation?
Gareth Southgate and Sergio Ramos in the woods is not a rumour you want to start. No.
It is like a Netflix series, doesn't it? Gareth goes running in the woods.
Well, I love Stalked by Ramos.
I expect a 10-part Netflix documentary series to get to the bottom of it. Find out next week.
Mm. Yeah. What I find interesting was Gareth Southgate said he was on for his personal best for a 10K. And then a friend of mine who used to go to the same school as Gareth Southgate said that apparently, I think it's in Crawley, in, would it be East Sussex?
Yeah.
One of the Sussexes.
Near Gatwick Airport.
Yeah, 30 years on, or however long since Southgate's left the school, he still holds some records for some of the achievements in athletics and stuff there.
Yeah. There's a guy in...
he's still trying to break him.
Pretty unrelated. There's a guy who is, I think he's in the draft, the NFL draft recently. And he broke the record for the 40-yard dash, which is what they do at the NFL Combine. And I looked him up on Wikipedia, and I can't remember his name, but he also has like the state record for the 100 metres, the 200 metres, the 400 metres, the long jump, the high. It is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And so I wouldn't be surprised if top level footballers have these athletic athletic prowess in other areas as well. I spoke to Matt Taylor, Pompey legend.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do a special with him, come up, bring it out later in the summer. And he said when he first realised he would become a footballer, a professional footballer, he got chucked into the 800 metres at his school, having never run it before because they were short or something. And he won it by an absolute streak. Hmm. And he thought, at that point, he thought, do you know what? I think I could be really good, a really good athlete here. And that's where he doubled down and became a footballer because he'd already been released from a club at that point.
Right.
So okay. I guess it can work out that way.
Who's clocked the fastest run so far at this World Cup?
Who?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is it really?
Is he really?
Yeah. At 33 years old. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing.
Who's got the distance record? Do you want some emails?
Yes, please, Pete.
Actually, and also, speaking of Ronaldo, before we go on to emails, the leap he did in his celebration was absolutely ridiculous.
He's got that in his locker, though, hasn't he?
6 feet high, he must
How
have
big
been.
Is his locker?
It's quite big. Yeah, it's massive. Got a lot of his hair trophies.
All his hair, it's all his hair products.
Just extensions. I've never seen an extension to a locker.
Yeah.
Peter, give us an email.
Weird thing to say. Sam says, hi guys.
Just I'm suggesting that he's got a big locker and he keeps needed to have it extended.
Yeah, the image is still strange. Okay. Sam says, hi guys. Just a comment on the Nobby Solana Peruvian trumpet class. I've lived in North Therabee since 2004, and upon hearing the Nobby story from Wednesday's Ramble, felt confused as to how I'd never heard of the trumpeting class at the time. Because of this, I asked friends and family living in the village, and admittedly, after a very brief amount of research, can conclude the story is bollocks.
Oh, what? Oh. No
I just started emailing because the Nobby story somewhat annoyed me due to it being completely made up, Sam.
Sam, you're bollocks.
Yeah. Extend this locker, no, Sam.
Shut up, you bollocks, Sam.
Well, if that's the truth, then it's good that he reported
it. It's not the truth, it's just that he did not dig deep enough.
It's 1v1. Yeah. We need a decider.
You don't talk about Trumpet Club.
It's like a listener-assisted referee.
Yeah.
It's LAR. Fact-checking our email.
Casper Porsgaard says, watching the Uruguay versus Saudi Arabia match today, speaking about Diego Forlán a bit earlier on, I was suddenly overwhelmed by a profound longing for Diego Forlán. As my thoughts drifted, I seem to recall him taking in-swinging corners from the right corner flag with his left foot during the World Cup 2010. Could this really be true, or is my mind playing tricks on me? If any of the Ramble gentlemen could confirm this story for me, I would be grateful. I think he definitely did.
I've got no clue.
No.
Sorry, and that is quite a specific memory.
I know, right?
Repeat that. What was that again?
Diego Forlán taking left-footed corners from the right corner flag in World Cup 2010.
Yeah.
Why would anyone remember that?
How has that email got in here?
I like
why?
That.
I want to know that. I want to get to the bottom of that. I want to get to the bottom of
get
the Nobby Solano.
Yeah.
Thing. Akshay says, hello guys, I thought I would look into how absurd it was that England had scored two or more goals in a World Cup match, or hadn't scored two or more goals in a World Cup match
since
2006. During this period, Serbia and Montenegro have scored more than two goals during this period, despite the country not existing. Germany has done this 10 times, followed by Netherlands with 9 and Brazil 8. 8 teams have done this more than 5 times, of 22 teams having done this multiple times. Bosnia, Paraguay, Ecuador, Costa Rica, Russia, Japan, Serbia and Montenegro have all scored more than two goals in a match during this period.
Blimes.
Wow.
Wow.
Blimes. Well,
just shows how insipid England have been. Thank you, Akshay.
We've hit rock bottom and now we're climbing back up again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you better watch out. If that email was from a non-Englishman, I don't want it in here again.
No. Do you want an email for an Englishman?
There was a guy on Twitter the other day who messaged saying, unsubscribing to the Ramble till the England songs stop.
The England songs?
Yeah.
What, were you singing England songs?
Well, on the show we were doing like...
Vindaloo!
How's he going to know?
I think he was an Irishman.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, sod him then. Not because he's Irish, just because he's miserable.
And well, because his country aren't represented at the World Cup. Mm. And that's not our fault, Marcus.
No,
is it?
It's Thierry's hand.
Yeah. What I find quite funny about some people who are from...
Some people.
Who perhaps live in countries that are situated very close to England. They get really annoyed if an Englishman shows a bit of joy if England do okay. And it's kind of like, no, it's okay.
Marcus's mask is slipping.
Show at thefootballramble.com.
Marcus, I think you're forgetting that we are unconscionable twats.
Yeah.
In the main. We are nightmare men.
Marcus,
historically, it's what our society is founded on.
Marcus, Pete hates himself.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
No. I hate Englishmen.
In which you are one.
I wish I am one.
Have any more emails?
Only by a couple of months.
Yeah. Any more emails?
Could have been born in Fife.
you keep asking, Marcus. He's just going to carry on.
No, we'll move on. You weren't really pleased with the emails I brought you, so I'm pulling back.
We'll move on to today's fixture. Yeah. Shall
All
we?
Right then, Denmark versus Australia gets the day
I'm
underway.
I'm not that excited by that. I think Christian Eriksen's going to get a kick in. I think that's my only reaction for that.
Well, from Jedinak, specifically Jedinak.
Australia did well against France.
They did,
France is better than Denmark, so
by that logic, it might be a draw.
Three-all draw.
A draw, yeah. Yeah. See that.
Okay, France versus Peru.
I'm excited for that
Come
one.
Come on!
Because, do you know what? We spoke to Andy Braslon on The Continent yesterday, the episode On The Step yesterday, and he said that he felt that France would learn from their mistakes and that he felt Deschamps would make a difficult decision to drop Mbappe or Dembele or one of these sort of really bright young players for Giroud because he thinks that they're just a much better team with Giroud in it and with Griezmann playing off him. And that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Of course, difficult thing to do for a manager. Easier said than done because you've got some of the world's most expensive players in your team and some of the world's most exciting young players. But if France slip up against Peru, having not made those changes, I think Deschamps will be under a huge amount of pressure.
Yeah,
well, but I would love to see Peru do it.
I think we all would, you know, the whole underdog story and so on and so forth. But, I mean, Giroud, only Thierry Henry, Michel Platini and David Trezeguet have scored more goals for France than Giroud. And his goals to games ratio is the same as Henri's.
So
I know what you mean. Deschamps trying to play fantasy football and get everybody in there.
Yeah.
But actually, the facts and stats back up old Olivier.
And he's right for this game as well. This is going to be a bit of a battle, and France need to show a bit more. It's going to be a bit more physical, you would think, and they need Giroud, probably Pogba to stand.
Oh, I don't
and,
think
and height and height more than anything else.
I don't think it'll be more physical in Australia. They were very physical, but I think it would be more of the same.
Peru are not a very tall team, so they could exploit.
But
that.
they're almost very. How would you put it? They're sort of, they buzz around. They're difficult. I think they're a difficult team to play against. They were very unlucky in their first game.
They are, yeah.
So they're 6-1 to beat France with Bet365 this afternoon. So £10 on that will return £70, including stake, should they upset that French apple cart.
Well, the French press have been very critical, as you would imagine, of their side. Raphael Varane said to them while he was being grilled by some journalists, if you could be a bit more positive, that would be cool.
Very reasonable.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I do think that with every big nations sort of game as we move into the second round of fixtures, like England's performance looks a hell of a lot better.
I think so, Pete. And you know what's interesting?
There's a bit of positivity.
I think that's right. And you know what?
I'm never not positive.
Belgium play Tunisia the day before we play Panama. And if Tunisia give Belgium a real run for their money, that England-Tunisia performance will look a lot better.
Yep.
It will look like we really dug it out against a tough, rugged team who were determined to stop us.
What if Belgium win 3 or 4-0?
But they're good, aren't they? It's a win-win for us. It's a win-win. If that happens, I'll just end up on Sunday saying that Belgium are a great team.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I've got it all squared away.
All right, good man. But the Peru manager, Gareca, said that they're going for the win. He said, we are used to being the underdog, to living on the edge. I think we can beat anyone and we know how to handle ourselves in extreme situations.
We wouldn't like to see Peru go home, would we?
Certainly not. Guerrero could start now because they say he's fully fit. So
he looked very, very good.
Yeah, of course, a lot of Peruvians can't go home because they sold their houses to be there.
It's a long journey home for them because they don't know how they're going to do it.
They better leave now, actually.
But we wish them luck. Argentina versus Croatia. Tasty.
This is the game of the day. And this is also the quote of the day. This is exactly what the World Cup's all about. I love it.
Are you talking about the Sampaoli quote?
No, I'm talking about the Dalic quote. This is Croatia's easiest game
of the
group.
He
said, this is Croatia's easiest game of the group. Loving it.
Yeah, but his reasoning was because they've already got 3 points and because Argentina are a big opponent.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Do you think he's talking about in terms of motivation?
Well, maybe.
Like we've got 3 points already.
It must be. It's not
the end of the world if we lose, and we're going to be up for this.
Well, a win would all but see Croatia through. A win is a must for Argentina. Yeah. I mean, all eyes will be on Messi, of course. Messi, talking of statistics and all, Messi reportedly ran less than any outfield player who completed 90 minutes in any of the matches during the first round of the games.
Surprising to me, because he seemed to be on the ball all the time.
It just feels like they're going to make a bollocks of this, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Could well be. Well, before the tournament, because we've mentioned about is Messi picking the team and what's going on all the chat there, Sampaoli, the manager, said before the tournament, we're at the point where Leo is untouchable and Messi's vision is more developed than ours.
It's mad.
I mean,
it's
a manager shouldn't say that.
No.
They're wasting this generation.
What's that smile for, Peter?
I just think it's funny. That we all regard Messi as being really sort of pleasant and kind of, he just lets things wash over him, but he's actually a real shit.
Well, not necessarily.
This whole little dictator thing isn't going away.
I think he's a behind the scenes shit.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Ronaldo's a lot more on this with his shithousery, isn't he?
Well, do you know what? There's no denying there. My very good friend, Nicholas, who lives in Mendoza in Argentina, said that there was a documentary in Argentina.
I just really enjoyed that peek behind the curtain. That makes you sound very suave.
Yeah. Yes.
My good friend, Nicholas from Mendoza.
Who you call Slappy.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
We all do. We all
Slappy.
Do.
That's Slappy, isn't it?
Well, thanks for making me sound like a knob.
They've been listening for 34 minutes, mate.
My friend who manages my import and export business in Seychelles.
Hey, if you like a good Malbec, I know the man who can sort you out.
Yeah. It's a man called Slappy. I'm not getting wine recommendations from a man called Slappy. Well,
you're an absolute mug.
Wine in the bottle is not what the wine on the label
says. I'll tell you something.
Marcus, Pete drinks wine out the bottle. Don't worry about it. Just carry on.
You've moved on to a bottle, have you? Yeah. Well done.
Plugged it up with discarded battered sausages. Yeah.
Better than a box.
Yeah, not pouring it on the pavement and then licking it off like you used to. He said that you did it. In this documentary, there was older Argentinian men talking about Lionel Messi, and then they started to compare Maradona and Messi. And the rough translation was, Messi is the Argentinian we want to be, humble, quiet, respectful, self-confident and trustworthy. Maradona is the Argentinian that we are. Loud, brash, outspoken, uneducated, arrogant. Which is quite delightful, I think.
Have you seen...
With a weird selection of duty-free on his private jet. Yeah.
Have you seen enough of Croatia, Marcus? I think they can beat Argentina today.
Yeah, I think they can.
Don't forget, it's our best bet. Over 3.5 goals. Our best bet, bet 365.
But the thing is, Croatia can sit back. They don't have to go for the win. And if you're the type of... If you're trying to chase a game, you don't want Modric and Rakitic just knocking it around there. Mm. You don't want to have to go after them and really try and press them, because then you're going to leave the gaps. Mandzukic, we know he can put the ball away. We talk about some of the African and the Asian sides, but they've got a bit of quality in
them. I'd really want Argentina to be awarded the penalty in this game as well. Just to see what happens.
See who takes it.
Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah. I would quite like that, yeah. So, marvellous stuff. Well, very much looking forward to that one there. We've mentioned Gareth Southgate. In the England camp, Loftus-Cheek rumoured to be starting.
Against Panama. Yeah, Dele Alli's got a slight injury. Yeah. I got a feeling that because it's Panama, and because England should beat them, they didn't show much against Belgium. I think England might bring in Loftus-Cheek. I think they also might bring in Rashford. Mm-hmm. I think they might bring in Rose as well. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see 3, maybe 4 changes, actually, in that game. I think there might be. And I think England, with whoever they pick, should have enough to do the business.
Yeah, exactly. But that's days away.
A Sunday lunchtime,
of course. An awful lot of football to play until then. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble this World Cup. Of course, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore, thank you very much.
My name is still Luke Moore.
His name is Jim Campbell. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
And Pete Donaldson. Bless you, brother.
My name's Kevin Keegan. London goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.